Okay, Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! I guess that should have been ho 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 howdy. This program is live. It is 1 minute past 6 p.m. in the Eastern Standard Time Zone on this, the 24th day of December 2015. This is the Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. This is the Christmas Eve broadcast. And frankly, to be terribly, terribly candid, the Christmas Eve broadcast is probably not a lot different from most of the other broadcasts, with a couple of wrinkles insofar as there's still miserable right-wing garbage going on, and there's still people out there being mean to each other. Right-wingers are still right-wingers. But every now and then, you get a little hint from the universe that something special is happening. Of course, we had a near 70-degree day here in the hills and hollers of almost level West Bycod, Virginia, Stan. Far from your typical Appalachia Stan Christmas Eve, to say the least. I did one of the things that I enjoy doing best. I went last-minute grocery shopping. And since the bottom rusted out of the smoker, I had to cheat this year. With just three of us in the house, there's really no... you can't justify a standing rib of beef. And so, ordinarily, I would have smoked a turkey. Little buggers are difficult to keep lit, I tell you what. Yeah, but never mind. God, will that joke ever get old? No, I don't think so. I punted. I bought a smoked turkey. But it'll be really tasty. It'll be really, really tasty. And so we'll be... I'll be getting up in the morning and making the dressing, not stuffing. It's dressing. Getting up in the morning and making the dressing. Agnes is baking the biscuits even as we speak. Later this evening, after the program, I will probably bake the cornbread. And tomorrow morning, chop the celery and the onions and get out the sage and the black pepper and heat up the chicken broth and everything. Yum. Just yum. I think I really like the dressing better than, I mean, it means more to me than the turkey does. And we've got oysters to fry. But, like I said, there's only three of us here, Ferg, Agnes, and me. The rest of the family is more or less scattered, the most distant one being Doodle, out in New Mexico. But we will carry on with a tradition that has been here ever since we started the Horn, and come about 8:30, 8:40, whatever, we'll do the reading from the Gospel of Luke in the King James Version, because of course Almighty God speaks Elizabethan English, and we all know that, right? Maybe a little Christmas music along the way. Oh, and by the way, it wouldn't be the Horn if I didn't say that. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. There. I didn't have a note from Tim saying, what's your name? Thank you, Randy and PA, loud and clear on tune-ins on my Mac, he says. Thank you very, very much indeed. We try to raise, ordinarily $200 a night, $260 tonight we're trying to raise. A little less will be okay, too. $200 will be all right because we got a little bit ahead last night. But 10 at 20, 20 at 10, you know the drill. Because no program tomorrow evening. I will probably be asleep by this time. Turkey, it's like heroin to me, you know, just, and you just nod right away.
Yeah.
So there's that. The PayPal interface is at headonradionetwork.com/contribute. And you don't have to worry about filling in the blanks about where you work and who you work for. Agent Fred probably already knows that, quite frankly. If you'd like it to make it a recurring monthly contribution, just check the box that says to do that. Okie doke. It was a beautiful evening here in Appalachistan. Absolutely amazing. The world, at least the world around here, turned pink. I'm not kidding. It was this big, magnificent pink sunset, but the pink was so profound. It was the very light, the very air itself had a pinkness to it. And the sunset was so blazing that the way it backlit the woods made it look as if they were on fire with pink fire. It was exquisite. So happy holidays to you all. Going back to the most ancient traditions of humankind. If you go to Cahokia, near to the east bank of the Mississippi River, right across the river from St. Louis, Missouri, they will tell you there that Cahokia's pyramids, a specific structure there, were aligned so as to mark the solstices. They call it the structure at Cahokia a Woodhenge. Stonehenge, Woodhenge, yeah. In the desert southwest, there is a cave where on the winter solstice the rising sun strikes in such a way as to create a line across a stone with concentric circles marked in it. On the Yucatan Peninsula, on the winter solstice, the light of the sun crawls down the bas-relief sculpture of Quetzalcoatl, the feathered serpent, appearing to make the snake move. In Bolivia, at an ancient city called Sacsayhuaman, same. They had a facility for marking the arrival of the solstice. And of course Stonehenge, and other structures, all over the British Isles and all over Europe. Same for Asia. I'm pretty certain that the oldest continuously inhabiting humans on the planet, the people who have been in one place longer than anybody else, the Aboriginal people of Australia, had something similar. And so we come to understand that this time of year, not this particular day, but this time of year, occupies a particular psychic, psychological, spiritual, if you are of that ilk, and in fact, existential space in the human experience. I'm not entirely certain when humans figured out the solstices, but as quickly as they did, it would seem, they began celebrating it. If, for instance, you were in Ice Age Europe, then the winter solstice meant that, 90 days or so, and you can start heading back north. Maybe up closer to the ice wall, where maybe the hunting's a little bit better. And that's before we even became sedentary and started planting stuff. The winter solstice marks the it's the longest night of the year. And we view it as the beginning of winter. But that's a human mind trick that we play on ourselves. The days get longer after the solstice. Ever so gradually, they get longer. And after about 90 days, lo and behold, the days are equal to the nights again. And long before there was any, long before even the Bronze Age monotheism arose, there was very much concern with the life-giving sun. And while, as we did on Monday, we make sport of allegedly modern humans, Merkins, somewhere around 26% of whom think the sun revolves around the earth, we make fun of them, and rightly so. But this time of year is a reminder of how much human beings have done through the ages with how little. How little. Could you and I figure out the solstice with no scientific equipment, no calendar, no previous knowledge? I mean, just considering something like this season of the year gives one, at least me, an appreciation for the magnificence of the curiosity of us neotenous primates. Butterflies and ducks and, know when to go north and when to go south. It's hardwired into them. But I don't think it's hardwired into us. There was something that happened to our consciousness when we got it that made us lose some of those instinctive gifts, traits, not gifts. And so I do. I despise, I loathe, I detest the orgy of capitalistic consumerism that goes down this time every year. But if you pull the curtain back beyond that, you find something entirely different. You find family. You find community. This season of the year serves, at least for me, as a magnifier of memory. It serves to make fresh in my mind memories that have long lain dormant. Because I can smell the smells coming from my mother's kitchen. And I renew that memory by recreating her recipe for the dressing, not stuffing, dressing. And I remember all the other things that went with it, the fruitcakes, the pies, the salads, the jello things that really are quite good. The family. We have Christmas ornaments, my sister and I, that probably go back 75 years. It's amazing. And so necessarily Christianity co-opted this time of year, as they co-opted every other holiday. Easter, instead of being a celebration of the coming of spring and what really could be termed the new year, gets turned into a celebration of a slaughter. Christmas, before it was Christmas, was Saturnalia in the Roman world, a celebration of Saturn, who, how about that? He's the sun god, the rebirth of the sun. Mithras, birthday December 25th. Horus, birthday December 25th. Remember, Mithras is the reason for the season. But 2,000 years ago, actually probably more like 1,500 years ago, this time of year got glommed onto by Christianity. And then, at the point of a sword, Christianity was by then being forced upon most of Europe. Later on, another monotheistic religion would come along and force their god of love on another group of people, again, at the point of a sword. Funny thing about these religions of peace, they seem to require swords to enforce the peace, or compel the peace. But as anybody who is familiar with Joseph Campbell knows, the Jesus story is a hero myth. There is no actual history of Jesus, Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer, and itinerant semi-literate rabbi from Nazareth. And if you want a backwater, Nazareth was a backwater. Yeah, just a little poverty village. But it's a hero myth. Just like Moses is a hero myth. Muhammad is a hero myth. We actually might have a little more actual history about Muhammad than about Moses or Yeshua, simply because the age of history had dawned by then. It was still kind of in its infancy when Yeshua came along and didn't exist at all when the Moses story was being fabricated. But be that as it may, the season kind of begs for the telling of a hero myth. Because in the Northern Hemisphere, this is the dead of winter. You know, until we spent the last 150 years or so burning every hydrocarbon that we could get our hands on and managed to completely screw the climate of the Earth. You're right. But this is in the dead and still of winter. This is a time for telling of the hero tales to remind people that all is not lost, that the sun is not forever gone away. Because you know what? If you're one of those people way, way, way back then, I mean, we look back and we go, ha, 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 silly primitives. How did they know the sun would come back? How did they know that there wasn't some divine intervention required every blessed day to make sure that the sun would come back the next morning? I mean, sure, it had risen every morning before, but that didn't mean it was going to do it again. The gods had to be properly invoked in order to be efficacious and loving. And even when properly invoked, sometimes they weren't. And so, yeah, I'm fond of this time of year because it reminds me of my kinship with the whole of humanity. And the traditional stuff that's risen up around it is in its own way lovely. It's kind of nice to hear other people wishing goodwill upon one another for at least a couple of weeks a year. Because we aren't very good at it in Christendom the other 50 weeks. One wishes we were, but we ain't. Mm-mm. So, I'm sure many, many members of the Horn Family Commune congregation have their own memories of Christmases gone by. The ones when our children were small were lovely. Well, they're not small anymore. And one has begun her own family. That may happen with the other three, probably will at some point. And there will be perhaps more little ones to watch enjoy the magic of Christmas. Or if you prefer, Yule. Or the solstice. More meals to be prepared. One of the things I have to sit down and do is write out all of these ancient damned recipes and make sure each one of our young'uns has all the copies, because it is that continuity that establishes a big part of who we are. Some of the problems we have in the so-called modern world stem from our disconnectedness. It is only of fairly recent origin that families don't live four generations in one home. Not because they're poor, but because that works well structurally within a community. The generations in the middle taking care of the generations on each end. And passing knowledge along. That was the definition for the vast majority of humanity during the entirety of our existence. Community. Togetherness. Because as far back as the African savannah, one little clever monkey running along the ground is really no match for your average cheetah, leopard, lion, hyena, or, you know, flock of buzzards. Vultures, okay. On the other hand, human beings working together in a community of goodwill can accomplish just about anything. I mean, we lasted for 100,000 years as, maybe not even 100,000, but several tens of thousands of years as this version of the species, you know, human, what are we, 2.0, 3.0, 4.0? And so, with all of that having been said, my wishes and that of this family to all of you in the Horn family, commune, congregation, community. Maybe we'll add another C, we're the FCCC, the Horn family, commune, congregation, community. And whatever you're doing or not doing at this time of year, I hope you do it or not do it most happily. I used to have some medieval Christmas music, all full of instruments that I can't even pronounce. Mostly thumped, honked, and bleated. And I used to enjoy listening to that. Don't know what happened to that disc. I think it disappeared before the computers came in, and that would be, 20 years ago? We do have our little holiday traditions. I mean, everybody loves to watch A Christmas Story. Everybody loves It's a Wonderful Life. And yeah, I'm a rank sentimentalist, and I'm prone to sniffling at parts of that movie. And laughing, too. Get me! I'm giving out wings! Ka-ching at the bar. Most folks won't think of it as much in the way of a Christmas movie, one of our favorite Christmas movies, just because no family is completely happy, no family is completely functional, and nothing quite manifests that like a struggle for a throne. The Lion in Winter is a Christmas movie. And you think you got it bad. Oh, that's a lot of fun. And the dialogue and the interplay between Peter O'Toole and Katharine Hepburn as Henry II and Eleanor of Aquitaine. Well, it's there aren't a lot that rise to that level. But I just thought I would put that all out there, because I was listening to Malloy last night, and I guess someone wrote to Mike and said, you and Bob seem to catch a bad case of Christianity one week a year, which is not the case at all. But I did find it humorous. No, I want to make it absolutely clear on this and every other day, I'm not a Christian. You know why I'm not a Christian? I can explain to you why I'm not a Christian. Because Rick Wiles, among others, is a Christian. You remember Rick Wiles. He's the guy who takes his dog Gator out for his walk in the neighborhood there at Halloween. Remember this from the end of October? And Gator barks and barks and barks at the blow-up spider because he knows it's full of demons. Yeah, that Rick Wiles. Well, here's the happy holiday greetings from Rick Wiles, who presumes to speak for Christianity. This is why I'm not a Christian.
You don't realize. The Trojan horse arrived 30 years ago. And we have new enemies now coming across that border.
Oh, by the millions now. They're coming by the millions. I mean, back then, we're just talking about a few coming over at a time, bringing bombs and weapons and chemicals and biological poisons to kill us. They're coming by the millions now. The gate is down. The gate is wide open. The wall is down. There are no defenses. And the enemy is pouring into America, and a bloodbath is coming.
Well, Merry Christmas to you too, Rick Wiles. I mean, that's what has this guy been watching Game of Thrones? Winter's coming. And what was that? What was that ancient old English carol? And again, seasonality. There it is. The summer canon, or the cuckoo song. We don't necessarily know who wrote it. It goes back to, the middle of the 13th century.
Summer is coming in, lida sing cuckoo. Growth said and bloth med, and spring the weedy knee, sing cuckoo.
I can't read that stupid letter. After lom, though, after calucu, bullock, sturteth, bucca, urteth, murri sing cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo. Right, it's about the cuckoo singing with the beginning of summer. I'm trying to remember who wrote the parody of it. Was it Ezra Pound, maybe? Yeah, Ezra Pound, I think. The great English poet. Ezra Pound wrote the counterpoint to that, and it was simply, "Winter is ecumen in, luda sing goddamn. Goddamn, 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 goddamn." And I was reminded of that when I was listening to Rick Wiles the first time through. Hi, Rick. Bloodbath's coming. Did you know that? They're coming here, and they're bringing bombs and weapons and chemicals and biological poisons to kill all of us. Even Lindsey Graham huddled there under the fainting couch with his julep down there to smolder and chode. Yeah, I do. Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions, noting, you have a natural immunity to horse shit. I try. But still, what a little ray of sunshine Rick Wiles is. Oh, and by the way, I mean, need I mention that no, everyone who comes here from Western Asia, which we call the Middle East, which makes no sense, is not coming with a bomb. They're not all bringing explosives or poison gas or biological poisons to kill Merkins. But if they were, wouldn't that make it seem, wouldn't that make Rick Wiles happy? I mean, wouldn't that mean that's about time that his Jeebus is going to come down in his holy rolls? But these are the bastards that tell us that we're, these are the bastards that tell us that we have to say Merry Christmas, goddammit. And who have hissies over the colors of biodegradable coffee cups. Well, God bless you, Rick Wiles. There's a bloodbath coming. Well, good for you. I'm not sure what the call and response is for that. Oh, I know. Ludacing cuckoo. Cuckoo, 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 cuckoo. I'm the walrus. Did you ever wonder if that's where that came from? Cuckoo, cuckoo. You reckon John, Paul, any of those guys were familiar with Summer is Ecumenin, cuckoo, Ludacing cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo? I don't know what that has to do with being the Eggman, but still. They're a happy lot. Oh, and by the way, it's about 25 minutes before the hour. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to those on the other side of the international dateline. It's Christmas morning, or Christmas sometime. I can't keep up with what time it is in Sydney, for God's sakes. I mean, every time I think I've got a handle on it, the time... it's Christmas morning. Yo Saturnalia, Merry Yule, etc., etc., in Tokyo and Sydney and Ho Chi Minh City, in Canberra, in Perth, in Angkor Wat, in Beijing. Yeah, because we've got a lovely international contingent of the Horn Family Commune Congregation community. I don't know, commune and community sort of, maybe it's the Horn Family Commune, no, maybe it's the Horn Family Congregation community. We'll work this out. We've got all next year. But remember a few minutes ago when I was talking about how we ought not judge the ancients by the stupidity of some moderns? I got an example of that right here. Of course I do. Oh, and by the way, I asked Sparky to fire up the Horn Malloy Skype chat group. This evening, since there won't be a program for Friday, we'll make it a Christmas Eve on the front porch this evening. If you've never participated in Friday on the front porch, well, try it on a Thursday. It's equally delightful. All you need to do is send a contact request to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, Sparky Dunk on Skype, and you will be part of the merriness of the festivities. Okay, so Horn, all right, got it. Well, the Horn Family Community Congregation. That actually makes some sense. Good, good, good. Okay, that's what it means. We have a translation courtesy of Randy in PA. You now bleateth after lamb, loweth after calf the cow, bull now, okay, got it. Mm-hmm. I just can't read those middle English letters. You know, the ones that I think they still use them in, like, Iceland and stuff. I see those things and I feel like I ought to be making some clicking or popping sound or something. I don't know. But no, we should not judge the ancients for what they did not know and had not yet learned, because they did pretty good with what they had for the most part until they started telling people that the God had told them that it was so. The empirically gathered data was good data. On the other hand, and look, the mythology, say, of ancient Greece is it incorporates a time when giants roamed the earth. You know what? And guess where they would come up with an idea like that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. They found big-ass bones in the dirt. And, well, they hadn't quite gotten around to understanding a whole lot of ancient physiology. It would be, what, the 19th, 18th century before anyone even coined the term dinosaur? So they just assumed those were giant's leg bones. And if those were giant's leg bones, that meant that there had to be a time on Earth when giants lived here. Huh? And the same thing happens in the book of Genesis, making extrapolations upon empirical data such as it may be observed. Doesn't mean they were stupid. Means actually that they were inquisitive. But if you're making the same argument in the 21st century, well, that does mean you're stupid. Oh, hey, come on in, Brian Fisher.
You know, I'm not a scientist or a whatever,
but I have
read that reptiles continue to grow until they die.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
So you think about the pre-flood Earth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got people living 969 years. No reason to doubt that, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm. No, none. No reason to doubt that. 969 measured calendrical years by people who were measuring time who hadn't quite gotten around to inventing a calendar yet. No reason to doubt that. Every reason to doubt that. My God, Brian Fisher, you're stupid. Merry Christmas.
Do not doubt this book, Methuselah, 969 years he lived. So longevity, obviously, for all living things, was much greater before the flood.
Obviously. Handy adverb, that obviously, in this context, wouldn't you say?
So you think about a lizard. I mean, here's a lizard living for 200 years.
Yeah.
What if?
Yeah, okay. Here's a lizard. There's a lizard. You know, the goddess of irony tweaks this poor bastard just about every time he opens his mouth. He's sitting there yakking into his Electro Voice RE20, but he really doesn't understand how it works. It's just magic. There's probably a demon in his case, it's got to be an angel or something in there who's translating his voice down the wires. No, but he's sitting there talking about lizards, 200-year-old lizards. And he's wearing green. No, he is. He's wearing that nice lizard green. And, of course, the most active portion of Brian Fisher, proud son of Stanford, the most active portion of his brain is, of course, that part of the brain that we refer to. I mean, it's called the amygdala. Yes, the amygdala. The part of the brain that is the largest in Brian Fisher and others like him is, of course, the amygdala, which we colloquially refer to as the lizard brain. Oh, goddess of iron. Have I got it? Yeah, okay, good. I laid in an extra supply of rubber chickens, knowing the season that it is, so I'll probably be sacrificing a rubber chicken to the goddess of irony, or maybe two or three, long about midnight. Now, what about those lizards, Brian?
So you think about a lizard. I mean, here's a lizard living for 200 years.
Yeah.
What if you had this same lizard
living for
1,000 years?
Right.
Continuing to grow. You imagine the size that he would be?
Maybe that's where dinosaurs came from?
Yeah, I'm thinking that could be the explanation for dinosaurs. They were just like reptiles that just like grew for 1,000 years, kept growing.
No, doesn't make sense. But here's what I love about that particular exchange. Most intelligent people that I know, have to get really, really high in order to start wondering about what if the lizards are really like dinosaurs that just happen to be really long living lizards who grew a lot. Here, smooth.
Pass to the left.
Yeah. Charming lot, aren't they? They are. They are. And you don't get a break. You don't get a you don't get a break this holiday season or any holiday season. Because the because they're always going to be out there to kind of crap on it for you. Oh, you're supposed to, why aren't you celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior? Well, kind of because you're trying to force me to. And secondarily, because I'm not a Christian and I just don't believe in that stuff. But there's existential stuff that is worth looking into in the whole mythos. Just like there's existential stuff that's worth looking into in the Bronze Age ponderings of the Code of Hammurabi. Or the retelling that is Genesis. Or the Iliad. Or the oral traditions, most of which have been lost, of origin myths of people all over the planet. As to the lizard thing, Texas Betsy tells me, Lucas and I came up with that same theory about lizards when he met his first one. He was 4 at the time, so we can safely say that Lucas has expanded his consciousness beyond both that of a 4-year-old and Brian Fisher, which in some ways may actually be one and the same thing. Mm-hmm. Just giant 1,000-year-old lizards. In which case, we would have to check in with the prophet Bill Hicks. Who explained the whole, well, if that was the case, why are there no references to dinosaurs in the New Testament? Well, because there weren't any dinosaurs. And lo, Jesus said, what a big fucking, the disciples said, what a big fucking lizard, Lord. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it. I get it. Our dear friend Harry says, this historical celebration of seasonal Christian memories just doesn't resonate with me. Moreover, heroes sometimes were also tragic figures. They absolutely were, because the meaning of hero is not the meaning that we now ascribe to them. Oh, no. One quick look at the Heracles myth and you find out that heroes ain't how we understand them. My God, I think he killed as many good people as he did bad in that story. I mean, the hero myth of Abraham going down into Egypt and pimping his wife out to Pharaoh. She's my sister. Right? There's plenty of that. And I am veering towards seasonal sentimentality. I confess that, Harry. Because there are a lot of people gone that I tend to think of this time of year. Because that's the culture I grew up in. We are, sooner or later, all products to one degree or another of our culture. Harry says, the primary religion of this season is Christianity. Well, okay, for the last 2,000 years. But I'll bet you we can find somewhere on this little blue-green marble hurtling through the universe where it isn't. Harry says, I myself am going to be reading A Christmas Carol tonight, Charles Dickens. Dickens, fortunately, despite whatever arrogance fame brought him, still cared a great deal about the social problems of poverty, class prejudice, and the growing greed arising out of the Industrial Revolution. And that's exactly, A Christmas Carol covers all of that. And yet you've still got Tiny Tim sitting there going, God bless us, everyone. Harry continues and says, and then tomorrow I am somehow going to get to downtown Baltimore by bus to see Spotlight, which tells the story of how official Catholicism allowed its arrogance to destroy many people's young lives in Boston. Boston, as I know personally, was ripped out of its innocence as a city of mostly reverent Catholics as the scandal grew and grew. Boston was ground zero because the people running the Catholic Church in Boston were determined not to face up to what various priests were doing. Indeed, even Cardinal Law, the Archbishop of Boston, was involved in a surreptitious game of moving priests around from church to church. Rather than removing them from the priesthood or bringing genuine psychiatry into the Catholic Church's inner sanctum. And by the way, as long as I'm discussing myths, Harry continues, I have known about this for about 10 years, and I've asked a few professors about this. There is a significant amount of evidence that suggests that Horatio Alger, who was a novice minister, his father was also a minister, had to leave the Boston area to move to New York City because he was a pedophile. And I think that's accepted as fact now, isn't it? That whole go west young man kind of, it's the young man part. He was the Jared Fogler of his age. Harry says, I'm sorry, but we have a lot of modern myths that just aren't worth celebrating, and the ancient Greeks certainly knew that heroes were not necessarily going to live happily ever after. They were often tragic figures, and they were indeed. Achilles, even. Achilles in particular. Subject line, hero, Ron in Raleigh writes, isn't that a sandwich with lamb and tzatziki sauce? Yes, spelled G-Y-R-O. Ground lamb. Mm-hmm. So we've got a good little conversation beginning here. Again, here in a little bit, depending on what I hear back from Sparky, we'll do some front porching in a few minutes from now. Note coming from Carol. She says, I miss Bill this Christmas Eve. It's our first one without him. And it is. And I was thinking about Bill earlier today. Remembrance, remembrance, remembrance. Because at least in the way, and you know, you can chalk this one up to the church too. The way the calendar is set up. This is the end of something. It's the arbitrary end of something, but it's the end of something, and I think it becomes, is it human or is it external or internal? I don't know that there is a stock taking. And other faiths have official stock takings. I mean, Judaism has a specific day of atonement. And something similar probably exists in other faiths as well. I don't know what day it is that you get right with Ganesh or Xipe Totec. But in my weird little Protestant world, this time of year is a stock taking. So that's why this is the way it is. At least for me. But I refuse, knowing the history as I do, and for most people, I agree with Harry, for most people, it is a Christianity thing. But I know history. And I don't just know history, I know a little something about human and cultural evolution. And I know that Christianity does not own this or any other time of year, and I refuse to let them. Because, you know, I find, let me put it this way. If you did like Thomas Jefferson and you stripped away all the miraculous crap from the Yeshua story, it's still a hero myth. And it is a myth of a man who ended quite tragically. As Harry notes. And there's, you know, there's stuff to be celebrated there. But so too was there stuff to be celebrated in the birth of Mithras and Horus. Wasn't he the son of Isis and Osiris, was it? Yeah, I'm not entirely up on my Egyptian Book of the Dead. And we were talking about the statues of Pompey that were put up all over the Levantine coast and throughout what is now Turkey and Greece, and after he took care of the pirates, the pirate problem. You know what it said down on the plinth, right? Gnaeus Pompeius Magnus, common savior of humanity. Yeah. Or after the murder of Gaius Julius Caesar, his adopted grandnephew Octavian. Because Julius Caesar had been sort of on the spot deified, you wonder where Roman Catholic sainthood comes from. Gaius Julius Caesar was immediately deified. There were said to have been portents in the heavens as his body was burnt on a pyre comprising of a whole lot of the burnable stuff in the Roman Forum that was left over after they burnt down the Senate House after the murder of Claudius Pulcher. Well, guess what Octavian started doing? He started referring to himself as Octavian Caesar, son of the god. Filius Dei. So that whole son of god thing, there was nothing new in it. Yeah, by the time the Yeshua cult begins to rise up toward the middle to end of the first century of the Common Era. Just wasn't. So it's about 3 minutes before the hour. And by way of, and I love this piece of music in particular because it is exactly in line with what I've been trying to get across about the whole idea of Christmas. Now, I've been playing this every year for 2 or 3 years, maybe 4 now. And I can puddle up and get really rankly sentimental about this. And yet there is decidedly no magic in it. And just a little reminder that this particular song, he sells it on on Amazon and in the iTunes store or whatnot. And last I checked, it hadn't changed. Proceeds from this go to autism research. Proceeds from the sale of this song, 99 cents at a time, go to autism research, which I think is awfully, awfully decent. I love every line of this. I love the line about I'd rather break bread with Dawkins than Desmond Tutu, to be honest. Listen to the lyrics. This is just, well, to my way of thinking, exquisite. It's Christmas Eve. It is exactly 7 p.m. here in the Eastern Standard Time Zone. Or was 10 seconds ago. Jump into Christmas Eve on the front porch. Send a contact request to Sparky Dunk, S-P-A-R-K-Y-D-U-N-C, Sparky Dunk, on Skype. And you too will be part of the, well, the merrymaking band who has been merrymaking for, yea verily, lo and forsooth, these many, many, many years. You know, the Horn Malloy Skype chat group is almost as old as the Horn itself. Yeah, amazing, isn't it? So we'll take a break and then fire up the chat group. Yeah, happy holidays, y'all. This is the Horn. We'll be back.
I really like Christmas. It's sentimental, I know, but I just really like it. I'm hardly religious. I'd rather break bread with Dawkins than Desmond Tutu, to be honest. And yes, I have all of the usual objections to consumerism, to the commercialization of an ancient religion, to the westernization of a dead Palestinian press ganged into selling PlayStations and beer. But I still really like him. I'm looking forward to Christmas, though I'm not expecting a visit from Jesus. I'll be seeing my dad, my brother and sisters, my gran and my mum. They'll be drinking white wine in the sun. I don't go in for ancient wisdom. I don't believe just because ideas are tenacious, it means that they're worthy. I get freaked out by churches. Some of the hymns that they sing have nice chords, but the lyrics are dodgy. And yes, I have all of the usual objections to the miseducation of children who in tax-exempt institutions are taught to externalize blame and to feel ashamed and to judge things as plain right or wrong. But I quite like the songs. I'm not expecting big presents. The old combination of sock straps and chocolates is just fine by me. 'Cause I'll be seeing my dad, my brother and sisters, my gran and my mum. They'll be drinking white wine in the sun. I'll be seeing my dad, my brother and sisters, my gran and my mom. They'll be drinking white wine in the sun. And you, my baby girl, my jet-lagged infant daughter, you'll be handed round the room like a puppy at a primary school, and you won't understand
but you will learn someday that wherever you are and whatever you face, these are the people who make you feel safe in this world, my sweet blue-eyed girl. And if my baby girl, when you're 21 or 31 and Christmas comes around and you find yourself 9,000 miles from home, you'll know whatever comes. Your brothers and sisters and me and your mom will be waiting for you in the sun when Christmas comes. Your brothers and sisters, your aunts and your uncles, your grandparents, cousins, and me and your mom will be waiting for you in the sun, drinking white wine in the sun. Darling, whenever you come, we'll be waiting for you in the sun, drinking white wine in the sun, waiting for you in the sun, waiting. I really like Christmas. It's sentimental, I know.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just think that's special. It probably does a better job in 6 minutes or so than I did in an hour of explaining why this season can matter. And it can matter without even one iota of Jesus. Oh, by the way, this is just from the natural world. Agnes pointed it out to me from something she read. Apparently, reindeer don't keep their antlers year-round. The males shed theirs, but the females do keep their antlers year-round. So once again, the females are doing all the work, and the male reindeer get the credit. Hopefully, we can address this in the larger equality argument somewhere along the way. Maybe we could rename them. I mean, Clarice, really Clarice. Can you still see his nose glow, Clarice? So let's run over to the Skype line where Sparky awaits. Good evening, Sparky.
Hi, Bob.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you. Not much going on here, that's for sure.
Are you underwater?
No, just me and Judy. Stepson, his wife don't want to come down out of the mountains because of the snow.
Because of the snow.
Well, this is California.
I know, and this is West Virginia, and for the first time ever, I may be able to walk out in the yard and have white wine in the sun tomorrow. If it's not pouring.
Well, I was going to say, you don't know how people don't know how to drive in the snow. They don't know how to put on chains. So sometimes when you get up in the mountain passes and stuff, it gets really crazy. But now they got chain controls pretty much all over the place. Caltrans does. You don't get past a certain point unless you got chains.
Wow.
Or snow tires.
Well, and you know, there's always, even here, there's always somebody, oh, hell, I got four-wheel drive on a pickup truck. Mm-hmm. I'll be all right. And you go another mile up the road, and he's in the ditch, and the tires are going. Rrr, rrr.
Yeah. Well, some of the mountain passes he has to get through. Well, both of them are like 6,000 feet plus.
Wow. Just to get from his place to yours.
Yeah, there's I don't know what you call them, Big Valley Mountain. And then we got Bernie Mountain, near Bernie, where they put the wind turbines.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
That's 6,000 feet.
Wow.
So it's called Hatchet Mountain, that's what it's called.
So they're just staying put tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, they were going to come down couple days ago, but it's been storming off and on here.
Yeah. And
I've been through it. I mean, I've had a harrowing adventure one time going up to where, when my father-in-law was still alive, going up there. And started out in the rain, and then had to come back through the snow, put chains on, and just missed the guy coming down alternate route on Highway 44 by Lassen Park. Guy just missed hitting my truck by about 6 inches. Him going up, me coming down.
Ooh, that's disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when we got caught in the blizzard last March coming back home from D.C., and it took 2 days. I was really proud of the way we handled things, because at one point in time we were the only people on the highway for miles, and it was apocalyptic. I mean, you had four-wheel drive trucks with big old studded tires and semis jackknifed halfway around themselves out, you know, over into the medians and stuff. Mm-hmm. But we finally made it down to Stanton, Virginia, at which point I looked at Ferg and said, "We're done." So it's not, you know, not to be taken lightly. So,
I tell you, my most harrowing trip in the snow is coming from Weed, California. I was working for a traffic signal company, lighting company. And we were redoing freeway lights. And we got caught there and it started snowing. And we had to drive all the way back to Redding and had these flatbed trucks. And I was pulling a wire trailer with all these 1,000-pound rolls of wire on it.
Nice.
Coming down. So that was my scariest drive through the snow.
Well, let's see. We've also got... we've also got in the group this evening from Australia. Carol Abel is with us to differentiate. Carol's with us, and thank you, Carol, for getting us started this evening on the fundraising. It's much appreciated.
Well, Merry Christmas, Bob.
And happy Merry Days. And all other incarnations of the phrase to you as well. Thank you very kindly.
You're welcome. And happy Solstice Day, and they celebrate Boxing Day. I still haven't figured out what that is.
Isn't that when you get trashed while you're cleaning up the mess after Christmas?
Well, I'm sure that happens. I thought it was an old English tradition of boxing up the unwanted gifts and giving them to the servants the day after Christmas.
Oh, I thought it was just about getting rid of all the empty boxes.
Yeah, I think that's the original idea that most Americans have. But if you talk to the English, you know, they have to throw class into it.
Oh, well, of course.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Bringing class into it again.
Right. We had a political office holder over a few counties over many years ago when Ferg first joined the parade, and she always referred to him as my Boxing Day baby.
Aw.
Yeah, because you know, his birthday's the 26th.
We got one of those here too.
I think people down here do their big shopping on Boxing Day.
Well, that's when the big sales go off, right?
Apparently, yeah. It's like I was out on the 24th getting myself a new tire for Christmas, and there wasn't that much traffic in the shopping areas. I mean, there were a lot of people around, but it wasn't anything like what we're used to in America. It's just more toned down. There were people surfing yesterday with Santa hats on.
Oh God, it was like the road. I mean, I could tell looking over into it. It was like the road warrior this afternoon in the Walmart parking lot. No way was I. Well, I try to stay out of there in the first place, but no way was I going in there.
It's vicious. It's gotten so vicious that everybody's obscured what the whole thing is about.
Well, and now as in the conversation I had with Robert up in Morgantown last night, you know, next month, the Republican West Virginia legislature is going to try to move heaven and earth, Carol, to make it possible for people to do all of their vicious holiday shopping with concealed weapons and no permit necessary.
Oh my God.
No permit necessary. Now, you've got to be 18 years old to buy a firearm in this state. But that's it. Oh, here, son. Yeah. You want a gun? Here's a gun. Yeah, God bless America. Wolverines, boy. No, you don't have to have no class about how to handle it. You know how to work a gun, don't you, boy? I sure do.
Just point and pull.
Yeah, it's point. It's just like the old Instamatic cameras. It's point and shoot.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a lot of guns trading hands this Christmas Day.
Hey, Bob, did you hear about that shooting in North Carolina in the mall?
Oh, no. No, I did. We had one?
Yeah, I think a couple people got injured, and then the shooter's dead.
And that was today, of course.
Yeah, I think Moorhead, North Carolina.
Not Moorhead, Kentucky?
No, I'd have to look it up again.
I think Moorhead's out by the coast, isn't it? It's on the way to the Outer Banks.
There's some breaking news earlier.
Jeez, Merry Christmas, huh?
Yeah. And I'm sure though it was a lawful gun owner, right?
Oh, it was in Charlotte, North Carolina. It's called the North Lake Mall.
Of course.
Yeah, Moorhead City's on the way out to the Outer Banks. It's a pretty quiet little area.
Oh, I don't know what got me confused with that, but that's where it really was.
Rapper Donkey Cartel reportedly dead as graphic Snapchat photo. Twitter videos of... Oh, dear God.
God, we don't even get a day off for Christmas.
Police say an argument broke out between two groups of people at the mall. Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department describes it as an officer-involved shooting, unclear who fired fatal shot. Also being treated, a woman who went into labor and someone who had an asthma attack. Oh, for pity's sakes. Well, this is, you know, we'll certainly be able to make this better if everybody's got a gun.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the answer to it, obviously.
The shooting occurred in Journeys, a shoe store on the lower level of the mall near Dick's Sporting Goods. I guess it was the last pair of 12 wides or something. Freedom. Wolverines.
All I had to do was navigate the grocery store today.
I had a long talk with a woman in the tire store yesterday while I was getting my tire replaced. And she was obviously from here. And she was curious about how Americans on a day-to-day are dealing with what's going on. And I said, well, it varies from different regions, of course. Some people are really devoted to the gun culture. And I said, most of the people I knew were not. So I never saw guns, you know. And there isn't that much violence in a lot of the cities on the West Coast, unless you're in the parts of town where the poverty is out of control. And so we talked about poverty. And she was saying, well, we have poverty here, but we don't have guns. So maybe it's, maybe that's really the problem in your country, you know. And I said, well, there's many layers of it. And so we talked politics for a while, and we talked about the CIA. She knew a little about that because the CIA had been instrumental in getting rid of the best progressive Australia ever had, this guy, Gough Whitlam. But at one point, you know, I said something about my country, and she patted me on the arm, and she said, my dear, she said, this is your country now.
How nice.
I just felt so welcomed. I mean, it's the first time somebody's really said that to me and meant it, you know? It's very hard leaving the country. People should not do it without thinking about it long and hard, you know?
Well, even from one English-speaking nation to another, it's not like going from, and even as weird as, say, going from Vermont to Texas might be, it ain't going from Vermont to Texas.
Right. It's totally different. It's, of course, the weather is different. People might be putting a turkey on the barbecue today.
Hey, but it's like I said, I would be doing that here were it not for the fact that the craptastic thing rusted out.
You can't just put a fake bottom in the bottom of it?
No. There would be welding involved, and that is something about which I know less than nothing.
I had to use wood stove cement for...
Yeah, and apparently there was enough. These are like this thing just. I mean, it was amazing because you know you get done, you take the grate out, you clean the grate, you clean out the bottom, but it's got nooks and crannies down there, and you can never get it completely clean. Which means that sooner or later, that's going to turn into acid. And so, before I even knew it, the firebox to this thing had just it had become a random collection of individual rust molecules. So that was my problem. That's why I wound up cheating. But it'll be right tasty. Oh, hey, thanks very much to our buddy Gary Laborman, who said Merry Christmas or Festivus or and stay safe. Thank you very kindly, Gary. We've only got $50 now to finish the evening's fundraising. So that's wonderful. That's wonderful indeed. Ron and Raleigh, who is well aware of what happened in Charlotte today. Apparently, according to the link he sends, Boxing Day has nothing to do with pugilistic competition, nor is it a day for people to return unwanted Christmas presents. It's likely that Boxing Day began in England during the Middle Ages. Some historians say that, yep, Carol, there you go. It developed because servants were required to work on Christmas Day but took the following day off. As servants prepared to leave to visit their families, their employers would present them with gift boxes. Then there's church alms boxes, bank holidays. Feast of St. Stephen is also taking place on December 26th, which is an excellent Grateful Dead song, isn't it? Isn't that a dead song?
Yes, it is.
Okay, I thought. See, yeah. Oh, and before I forget, because let's go over to the stress line. And say good evening to Jim in Nevada Stan. Hey, Jim.
What's up, Bob?
What do you know?
Merry Festivus. Merry Festivus.
Happy Merry Days.
Yeah. So, no, I was enjoying your lead-in with, talking about, you've got a swath of historical knowledge. It's, one of the reasons why I can't stop listening to you. But, I was thinking when you were talking, you're familiar with Gordon Bell, of course, right?
Oh, yeah.
He wrote a book, I think it was in the early 60s, Julian, the Last Pagan Emperor.
That was I think that was among his first novels, 1962, I think. I've read it.
Yeah, I liked it. What I found interesting was the fact that the main character, Julian, he was going to try and bring back the old Roman ways.
He was trying to restore the pagan religion, but he was a day late and a deity short.
That really sucks. I hate being a deity short. And the other thing you probably kind of touched on about the weather, and I've noticed I haven't been, a meteorologist or been employed on TV, but this has been a really warm winter all over to me, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Well, not quite all over. But
not here. It's a normal winter for us. Finally, thanks, Obama.
Yeah, where's Gerald? We need. Where's our thanks, Obama?
but it just seems like they don't seem to be. And of course, who's that Coots from the Senate of the House? But snowballing like it.
Oh, Inhofe. Sure.
And. Where's your snowball?
Yeah, Senator Snow for Brains.
Yeah, that whole House and Senate, man. I hope somehow things change. But
that was unchallengeable, Jim, because someone who actually understands or perceives the science of climate change, you can't walk into the Senate chambers in. I don't know. How would you do that? Let's say Sheldon Whitehouse, because he's a climate change champion of the science. He couldn't. It's not like he can walk in with a bucket of sunshine. Because that snowball in January, man, that had some. That's what gave it the gravitas. It was a snowball. It's right there, right? You touch it. Maybe if he walked in Bermuda shorts and a Hawaiian shirt. Maybe that would get the point across.
Well, I heard the cherry blossoms were blooming in Washington a week or so ago.
I wouldn't be at all surprised.
It kind of read my mind because I remember the last two or three seasons with cherry blossoms. They were almost like clockwork when they would bloom. And all of a sudden they start blooming a week or two before whatever the scheduled date is, So if that doesn't speak volumes about that there is climate change, I don't know what it is, but I guess maybe if I started going to church they have to bring it up, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm guessing no. Let's pop back into the Skype chat and check in with Thomas. Hey, Thomas, how are you?
Hey, Bob, how are you?
I'm well. How did the ho-ho humbug spectacular go?
The ho-ho-ho extravaganza.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, you got to get it right, man. It went well. We didn't get any callers, which was unusual. It was weird. But I was joined with Nikki and Blake, and that was definitely fun. So it made it interesting. We did report on that story that you were talking about, and talked about the gang, or it sounded like a gang thing, like initially, but the people freaked
out.
But the
CMPD say it wasn't necessarily.
Well, perhaps because when we got it, it was literally an hour into it, like from the reporting. So you know how the news is. So the CMPD is probably right now. But the way it was reported very weird. Like nobody knew what the hell was going on, but we're really sure we know it's not this. And that what I asked on my show was, why don't malls like Westfield that own the malls and AMC theaters and all these Disney, why do they want dead people in their businesses? Why don't they let the free market decide by having returning customers?
Well, but Thomas, see, that's the thing. The free market will decide. I go back to what Carol Baker has said about the fact that, you know, she orders groceries from Amazon now. There's nothing yeah. you can get at the mall that you can't get it. And the free market will decide, as people who hope not to be murdered while trying to buy a pair of sneakers. Do we still call them sneakers, or does that geezer fi me? A pair of kicks, get gunned down. You know, unless there's a psychopathic postal service, UPS, FedEx guy with a gun going door to door, and here's your package, blam. It's a safe alternative, and more people, I think, are going to take advantage of that so as not to get freedom protected. I mean, it's the 24th. Come Saturday, it'll be 1 year since the nuclear scientist. And you know, I tell this story, and I'm not trying to make fun of it. I hope I'm not perceived as making fun of it. The facts of the case are absolutely heartrending. But Saturday will be 1 year since the nuclear scientist lady in Idaho decided that she couldn't risk the mean streets of Boise, and had to put her freedom protector in her brand new Christmas present freedom protector purse, and go and check out the specials on the day after Christmas at Wally World. And of course, her toddler, who was sitting in the basket next to the purse, reached into the purse, pulled out the freedom protector, and blew his own mother to kingdom come. And yet none of these stories have a lesson attached to them. Not one. Wasn't long after that that the Republican lady in Michigan, who had a brand new Freedom Protector bra, shot herself through the heart. You know, I guess not to put too fine a point on it, but I guess the warriors for the babies are going to go on killing, and the mass shootings, and what you're going to have those from time to time when a lawful gun owner becomes awful. But what about the damned, absolutely avoidable, accidental and negligent homicides? Or just the accidental and negligent maimings?
Well, that's my point. I mean, I jokingly asked on Facebook, maybe you saw, Bob, where I wanted Santa to only give me no Christmas shootings, and then could we not have any mass shootings for 2016? I guess I got a lump of coal, and so did the U.S.
Well, and I don't think that's going to work out for you for your 2016 wish either, Thomas, because I'm looking at a story right here. Apparently, somebody's out there surveying this kind of stuff all the time, because there's, I guess, good money in it. But gun shop owners across the United States have reported an increase in people shopping for guns over the holidays. In November alone, the FBI ran more than 2.2 million background checks, and that was up 24% from last year. And then, of course, there was so-called Black Friday, when on that day alone, they ran 185,345 background checks for firearms purchases. So, presumably, on one day, the day after Thanksgiving, the number of firearms in this country jumped by almost 0.2 million.
So, my real question is, when is Obama getting the guns? And when is Hillary getting the guns? And when is the UN getting the guns? I'm always promised the trifecta of that, Jesus, of course. So on this very day. So which one and when? Because I don't see that happening, and it's really pissing me off.
And they're being described, these firearms being purchased at this time of year, being described as, of course, gifts. There's a quote from a Belinda Gallegos, co-owner of ABQ Guns in Albuquerque, where we all should take a left turn. And Belinda Gallegos said, well, they'll come in, and they'll be looking, and then they'll leave, and then I'll get a call. Hey, remember that gun we were looking at? Well, she really liked it, so I'm going to come get it. Don't tell her. And then 5 minutes later, hey, remember that gun he really liked? Yeah, I mean, isn't that sweet? Isn't that charming? I mean, that's right out of O. Henry, you know, the gift of the Magi. Remember, he sold his beloved pocket watch to buy her combs for her hair. And she sold her hair to buy him a fob for his pocket watch?
Well, you know, the Three Kings, they brought baby Jesus a Glock, an AR-15, and a sawed-off shotgun. Was that where you're going?
That was exactly where I was going, yep.
Okay, fair enough.
I mean, you want your deer rifle, and you want your bird gun, and then you want your freedom protector that'll fit in the sinus of your toga.
No, sounds about right, sadly.
Yeah.
I'm glad we live in the greatest country on earth forever and ever and ever.
Let's see. Over in Arkansas, Fort Chaffee Outfitters, Kelly Womack said, "What we didn't sell in guns, we sold in accessories, which were gifts." But you don't have to have a background check to buy your honey a Freedom Protector bra, preferably in pink camo, I might add.
Does do bullets make good stocking stuffers?
Not if you've got a functioning fireplace, because I wouldn't want to stocking stuff anything that was hanging over the chimney with, because at that point in time, I don't think you can say that anything was hung by the chimney with care. If you've got things that will explode if they get too hot in them.
Yeah, never mind that. Chestnuts roasting and all.
Or, you know, 357 mag rounds.
Yeah, pretty much. That's where I'm at with this. If I don't make jokes about this, and not to the detriment of the people getting killed or anything, I will go insane. Because this is where they put me in. I have to compartmentalize it. And I'm sure most of everybody who listens and participates is, right? Am I wrong?
No, I don't think you are. Of course, there is some common sense advice being given out there for people receiving their Wassel firearm, their Yule piece. What's this guy's name? Yeah, Lieutenant Jerry Brewer in North Carolina says, if there's any outline issues in terms of being a felon, that's some of the other issues. There's some other laws. Make sure they can possess that gun if you're going to buy a gun for somebody. If they can't, there's no point in buying it. It's not something, and here's where the common sense real-world advice comes in. It's not something you want to purchase, stick in a closet, and never use. You need it. Really, Lieutenant? It's not something you want to purchase, stick in a closet, and never use. Ain't no sense in having a gun if you ain't going to use it. Well, now, you need to know how to break it down, and you need to know how to clean it. You need to know how to use it, whether that's going with a family member to practice shooting. We have multiple shooting ranges here.
Well, that only makes sense.
Yeah. What'd you say, Jim?
You have a lot of shooting ranges over there, I guess so, huh?
Well, yeah, that's what this guy says. I wouldn't begin to know where to go and squeeze off a few rounds.
Well, you know, I'm to the point where whenever there's a shooting, somebody, I hate to think this way, but I'm like, part of me, the cynical side, maybe cynicism, is like, good. When are you idiots going to learn? And you're never going to learn. I mean, I don't ever see that. There's no way, there's no going back. I mean, do you think there'll ever be any halfway decent gun legislation passed? Not with this Congress. But
no, well, not with this Congress, and all that can be done is really the only thing you can do about this is through an executive order at this point in time. And that means, yeah, the answer is not much.
Yeah, and then you got to worry about the next election coming up, you know, what kind of effect that would have, because everybody out of owners and freedom protectors that would just force them to turn out in droves and go even more right wing than they are. So you can't really, you know, that's just like when Obama said, okay, you want to carry guns in the National Park? Go ahead.
They cling, how prophetic he turned out to be. They cling to their guns and their religion. Well, that's what we've watched for the last 6.5-7 years, right?
Yep.
I mean, they're clinging better than glad wrap.
Well, on the bright side, Bob, freedom is protected, and that's what matters most. If we don't have that freedom protected, we have to worry about freedom. I guess. I mean, that's what I keep being told by them.
Yeah, right, because the Obama administration is going to put its jackbooted jackboots down on our necks right next to our Confederate flag tattoos, and the tattoo on the back of our necks is only God can judge me.
Yep, exactly. And I the thing that the takeaway that I got from this with the shooting at the mall, and I said this earlier, was that it worries me that the right wingers are going to use this as, well, if the good guy was the unarmed cop, off duty cop who shot the people getting into skerfuffle, so because that guy did it, if we have more unarmed cops or people with your freedom protectors, then will be so much more safer, because he got one in the leg and he got one in the chest, and he's an American patriot.
And now we have to sing with one foot in a bucket. If tomorrow all the guns I had were taken by my wife, something like that, right?
Sounds about right.
Jesus. But apparently the baby parts warrior is going to have a psychiatric evaluation. Did you see that today?
Oh, I did. It was on Fox News. He wants to be his own Matlock. Apparently he screamed Matlock, and I could be, you know. So he's gonna he doesn't want to be filled up with the drugs that they put the Aurora shooter on, so he's going to be able to defend himself. That'll be fun. They'll cover that, right?
Oh no, I don't think the judge is going to put up with that, because there has to be at least something vaguely orderly about a mass murder trial. Judge Gilbert Martinez has ordered the psychological examination to determine whether Robert Louis Deere, 57. Is fit to represent himself against charges of murder. Deere said during the hearing that he distrusted his lawyers, and yes, he demanded to serve as his own counsel.
Well, on the bright side, he didn't ask for Matlock. That would have been, you know.
Let's see. He stood up and said, "I want to be my own attorney." And the judge said, "You know, It just doesn't work well. I mean, you need to trust the lawyers we've appointed for you, and the baby warrior, said, "How can I trust him when he says in the newspaper that I'm incompetent?" And that's where the judge says, "Shut the up." He's trying to keep you off the horizontal crucifix, buddy.
Well, no, being your own lawyer, I was my own lawyer once, and I got a couple of years ago, I got busted for having one peanut butter colored on me because I just happened to be carrying one with me, and you know, I went to court, and they didn't call the case, and I went to court, I missed the case, you know. Sometimes that happens. So I ended up going to trial, and I was going to be, because then I talked to some attorneys, and they wanted like $5,000, you know, for the case, and I'm like, well, that's way too much. And I was like, I talked it over with my brother, and I was, you know, and I'd already decided what I was going to do was just bring a printout of my prescription history, which is all phenobarbital, and bring some empty bottles of my phenobarbital, which I happen to be saving, because the case has been dismissed, and out of will, I get something in the mail. Oh, they brought the case back up. I don't understand that, because I thought the case was dismissed, but I guess it's up to the DA, the ADA. Oh, yeah, let's get here's a case you can do. And so anyway, I went to court, and I get to court, and I didn't really sleep much. And I was like, oh man, I didn't even like anything to say. But, I guess my lawyer DNA kind of kicked in, and I put this in my case, and the judge said, case dismissed. So.
Yeah, that would be your lawyer DNA. That would be Jim, son of Jim.
Yeah. So I walked out a free man. And that was a felony. One peanut butter call was a felony.
Whoa.
Well, it's a controlled substance. I think it's a Schedule 4. I mean, I take them. I can't. I mean, all I know is that guy don't have a seizure. So.
Well, that God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Mr. Deere out in Colorado, he said, I ain't going to cooperate with your forced psychiatric evaluation. I'm not going to say one word to them. It's your whim to take away my constitutional rights to represent myself. They're poisoning me.
Bob, you sure he's not a Scientologist?
Oh, no. He's a Christian. And here's what
they do have the cross though, Bob.
No, he's not. No, he's pretty much garden variety Protestant. And you sit around, you watch yourself some of them Planned Parenthood videos that shows people with their little fondue forks getting a little bit of baby kidney and dipping it in the marshmallow fluff But among other things, it turns out that the state hospital, and this is a commentary on the system. In Colorado, the state hospital that does the competency exams for criminal trials, they're so backlogged that they can't get to him for 9 months. What does that say about the status of mental health treatment for the poor and working poor in Colorado?
Yeah, thanks, Ronald Reagan, man. Uncle Ronnie.
What did it take for the Aurora shoot?
I don't know. I don't know how long that took.
It seemed like it was a couple of years.
But remember, with him, he was specifically who Deere referred to. He said, I'm not going to let you just give me a bunch of drugs and make me sit there at the trial like a damn zombie. Nice, huh?
Yeah, that means he must have watched part of the trial.
Well, all you had to do was see a picture of him. Mm. Loughner, right? Jared Lee Loughner.
Yeah. Doesn't that mean premeditation?
No, that was a guy from Arizona.
Oh, okay. Who was the?
I can't remember, but I remember the guy that shot the congressman. But he's kind of a crazed-looking character anyway, this Deere feller.
Well, he is, and again, Christian. Just, you know, another Christian. Well, another Christian with a gun.
Because you got your all kinds of different Christians. I mean, the mellow ones, the radical ones.
Yeah, but the problem is the good ones won't denounce the bad ones and say they're not Christians. I mean, I heard back in their heyday, I heard plenty of critiques of, say, Westboro Baptist. But among those critiques, I never heard anybody say those aren't Christians. Now, by the same token, the standard that we impose upon Muslims in this country is that every time a Muslim does something bad, every Muslim in this country is expected to stand on his head, walk on his hands, and scream, Bruga, 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 not a Muslim, not a Muslim, nyan, nyan, nyan. But Christians never have to declare that Christian murderers aren't Christian.
Did you ever see that movie, Red State?
Oh, yes.
I saw that and I freaked out.
Yeah, that was decidedly disturbing, but it didn't seem that far from reality, really.
But that kind of made a mark in my mind and make me think that all of them are crazy.
Well, I tell you what, you wonder if it's a matter of the disease spreading. But remember when T. Rump was squealing about all those Muslims he saw celebrating and dancing on September 11th, 2001?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That didn't happen. Never happened. Wasn't real. Yeah. Well, apparently the dancing and shaking of guns isn't something that is reserved to the evangelical amosexual gun mentalists here in the U.S. There's a tremendous controversy boiling in Israel. Wednesday night, Israeli Channel 10 showed video of wedding party guests at an ultra-Orthodox Jewish wedding in Israel who were dancing and boogieing with their assault rifles. And one fellow was seen repeatedly stabbing, as in with a knife, a picture of a little Palestinian toddler who was murdered in the West Bank village of Douma by being burned alive. And there have been a few people taken into custody. Nobody's been charged with the killing. The Israeli Defense Minister Moshe Yaalon said there wasn't enough proof to prosecute the suspects. But really, dancing up, dancing and pointing guns, and you know how bad it got of the wedding party, not of the Palestinians, but of the wedding party. Bibi Netanyahu, who is crazier than a sprayed roach, said, "The shocking pictures that were broadcast this evening show the true face of a group that constitutes a danger to Israeli society and to the security of Israel." But again, nobody's been charged with the crime. And to their credit, Isaac Herzog, leader of the Zionist Union, said, "You miserable people, you've forgotten what it is to be Jews. You disgrace your skullcap, your prayer shawl, in the name of God. Whoever dances at a wedding and celebrates the murder of a sleeping baby is not Jewish and not Israeli. He should be put behind bars as quickly as possible." The problem is, just like in this country, where when something awful happens, and the response is, "Well, you know, that's not really, you know, no true Scotsman, right?" Well, it is. I mean, when people go to a Trump rally, or when we see video of people at Trump rallies curb stomping human beings for daring to disagree with Trump, there will always be somebody in the for-profit media or in the government who will say, "Well, you know, that's not who we are as Americans." Crap, it's not. I mean, how many more examples do we have before we figure out, and this goes back to the gun thing, that is who we are in America, isn't it?
Yep.
I was just going to say, it's only 1 week away from the American Festival of Guns at midnight.
The who, what, of which? Hey, wait a minute. Wait.
You know what I'm saying.
Oh, well, New Year's.
New Year's.
Oh, yes, the festival of the bullet goes up, who cares where it comes down, it's not our concern.
I mean, Tim from L.A. always sounds like he's in a war zone.
Yeah, it'll land somewhere downtown.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, because I said, yeah, New Year's, oh, yeah, gun, the shooting of guns.
Well, no, it took me a minute. You had me hook, line, and sinker, Sparky. I figured there was an American Festival of Guns at midnight. You know, official and sanctioned and sponsored by the NRA and Eddie Eagle costumes and all of that silliness.
Does Ted Nugent sing at that?
Oh.
I bet you he goes out and shoots a gun at midnight.
Itchy trigger finger fever. No, 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 no. Yeah, why not?
Did you see that the Donald T. Rump is going to be at the Fox and Freaks New Year's Eve bash? I don't know why.
Oh, yeah, well, because he's in the, because they like him. It's just like the Mouseketeers. Oh, and I am happy to announce that while I have not been able to access it for quite some time, I am the proud owner of a bottle of cheap tequila. So you drop another national celebration of guns at midnight on me. I'm ready. You hear me? I'm ready. Wait a minute.
You got the swirly straw?
I got the swirly straw, courtesy of Brother Deacon Asa. Don't screw with me.
So Bob.
Yes.
Bob, what did you do to celebrate King of America's birthday the other day? Teddy Cruz, Rafael, Eduardo Cruz.
Anointed future King of America, son of Rafael, yes. Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to be an American.
Yes, did you celebrate? Did you lay flowers or whatever it is you're supposed to do to celebrate a king?
Well, no, what I did is I gave what's left of my hair a hot oil treatment. And considered myself anointed.
Fair enough.
Yeah, it worked for me. And apparently it's really good for, it's good for your roots.
When was his birthday?
Oh, now you have
2 days
to
ago?
Ask me. 2 days ago. When he had that prayer rally thing in Nash Vegas.
Oh, okay. That was a birthday celebration too.
Yes.
Oh, and by the way, going back to the Boxing Day discussion, a comment coming from our buddy Robert in Australia. Robert says, "I worked in a department store over Christmas back in the late 70s. I was expecting December 24th to be an absolutely horror day. It was one of the quietest days I had there. I was told by the senior staff that it happens every year. Most people have all their shopping done and are at home getting ready for Christmas Day. As for all the post-Christmas sales, don't believe it for a second. I worked in a department store. IT department and saw the numbers. Items marked up 200% are now only marked up 100% or 50%. And seriously, do any of us really need more stuff? And Robert says, happy solstice to everyone. Well, have a glass of white wine in the sun for us, would you please, Robert?
My buddy just landed in a couple hours ago in Australia. He's down under on vacation. That's one place I haven't been yet. I'd love to go.
Oh, I want to go so bad, but I want to see the whole world, and most of that ain't going to happen. Okay, so talking about pictures is dancing about architecture, but I just got a picture here of Pee Wee Herman and Beetlejuice getting ready to throw an elf on the shelf, strapped to a big piece of wood into a wood stove. Now there's some holiday merriment for you. Thank you, Carol Baker. And what's this? Sean Connery, an arse-freezing Highland Yule with Reg Kidney and the Basingstoke Philharmonic featuring the Britain Marston Singers and Fingal McFlavorich on Highland Bagpipe, Scottish Wee Pipe, and Welsh Lung Bag. That, by God, would be some holiday music.
Say
what?
No, talking about holidays, I was thinking you were mentioning earlier about, like, some people, in addition to getting guns, you know, stocking stuffers.
Uh-huh.
You know, they use, like bullets.
They probably make stockings big enough that you could fit a banana clip into that'll hold 100 rounds, or maybe a speed loader for your 6-shot 44 Magnum, that kind of thing.
But I remember talking with a guy when I worked at the Venetian, and he was in a volunteer cop. He would do that, you know, a couple of days a week. But we were talking about guns. I didn't talk about, because I had read something about, like, lead is extremely poisonous. I mean, just even touching it, you have to literally wash your hands and really good. Am I right? I'm right about that, right?
Yeah. And you have to be particular about washing your hands after. And frankly, I'd do it with a mask on after doing your gun cleaning.
Yeah, because well, you got all, because it just, you don't think it gets
and
on
you know,
there,
and, you know, does, in some instances. There are some places, and of course this was another assault on freedom, but they seem to have gotten over it. There are some places where, like, goose hunting, and you want a 10-gauge shotgun for that, but you're not allowed to use lead shot anymore, and haven't been able to for a very long time.
Oh, that's been years.
Yeah. Steel, well, I think magnesium.
Yeah, because I heard there was like one kind of, not the main reason Rome fell, but because of the lead pipes they used, that kind of led to them kind of losing their mind. Is there anything to that?
Oh, yeah, lead is not good for you, and it bioaccumulates. I mean, for instance, Freddie Gray, who was murdered in Baltimore,
right,
grew up in substandard housing that was absolutely chock-a-block with lead paint. And when he was a much younger fella, the children were tested, and they had ungodly levels of lead in their system. And the thing is, you can't see it until it's too late, until one day somebody looks up and goes, well, why can't that kid learn to read? And since Freddie Gray's case, you know, he was the wrong color and everything, well, you know, I mean, that's just because how them people are. Well, especially if they've been eating lead paint chips.
Yeah. I hate the lead for that. But, I mean, that's the only
Well, I'm convinced that the entire Freedom Caucus of the Republican Party in the House of Representatives has lead paint chips and French onion dip every damn day at lunch.
Yeah.
I wonder how much of the ignorance in the South can be attributed to the amount of lead that was dropped in the ground there during the Civil War.
Probably not near as much, Carol, as can be attributed to the amount of coal that has been burned to create electricity.
Well, it's just an additional burden. I mean, between that and other occurrences of lead, all the places that have had war, now it's DU, which is even worse. But all of them have ground that's been saturated with. Nobody ever went back and picked up the bullets.
No, but I mean, there's got to be like direct contact ingestion. On the other hand, with this applies to the rest of the country too, in large part. With coal-fired electricity, remember, you only start getting things like scrubbers on coal-fired power plant smokestacks with the passage of the Clean Air Act and the creation of the EPA under the Nixon administration. Until then, nah, nothing. Right. And so there's mercury in that. And I heard Bobby Kennedy once when he was down here in the Coal River Valley. I heard him say one time that there was enough bioaccumulated mercury, according to hair samples taken from women all across the country, there was enough bioaccumulated mercury in hair samples of women to account for a 10% IQ deficit in every child they bore.
Wow.
And that's something that had 90 years of it.
So we are recreating the way that Rome went. I mean, we're degrading our society in all these various ways, and this is another one. Flint, Michigan, that at least is making good news now that people are aware that this Nazi city manager, whatever that was appointed, has been poisoning the entire city.
Right, and you know, when I heard that story and read that story about the lying city manager in Flint, Michigan, you know who I immediately thought of, Carol?
There's so many. Which one did you think of?
Christine Todd Whitman.
Oh, yes.
Oh, no. The air at Ground Zero is perfectly safe to breathe. Oh, you don't need any of those silly old dust masks.
You'll just get in the way, make it hot. Yeah, that was.
But where's the accountability? How do you get to? They charged Don Blankenship with a crime. Granted, it wasn't killing 29 minors, but they charged him with a crime, and the best they could get was a misdemeanor conviction out of it. But it was deemed a modern miracle that he was charged with anything at all.
Right.
What do you do with somebody like that city manager? And meanwhile, I read a story in the last day or so from one of my activist friends up in northern Michigan. There's a Canadian consortium looking to mine themselves some gold in the Upper Peninsula.
Ooh.
And of course, that will be, and because anytime you go mining for gold on an industrial scale, that turns into an environmental human rights toxicity nightmare. I mean, that's was beautiful country up there, gorgeous country,
wild and free.
And you go a little bit west and you get into the Northwoods of Wisconsin, and there's water up there that is crystal clear and pure as it was when it came to Earth 10,000 years ago or 100,000 years ago, that bubbles up out of artesian wells. But what the hell, you know? I mean, there's profits to be made.
It's a pathocracy. Nobody answers because the people they would answer to are also pathologically disinclined.
I've got it right here. Lake Township, Michigan, a Canadian mining company has resumed planning work on a gold and zinc mine in Menominee County. Toronto-based Aquila Resources filed an application with Michigan DNR last month for the Back 40 project.
This is a major step forward for Aquila and represents the beginning of a transparent process that we expect will culminate with the building of an important economic development project that will grow the local economy, create good jobs, and generate new tax revenue for local and state governments. I would like to congratulate our expanded team, including our consultants, on delivering a comprehensive and quality application to the state within the timeline we established earlier this year. And yes, it is an open pit mine on the banks of a river.
Well, I mean, after Fukushima, they'll do anything.
Well, but the inspiring thing is the my friends in the Northwoods there in Wisconsin managed to turn back a massive iron mine that was planned for them, and they were led by the Bad River Band of the Ojibwe, joined in by folks like the Red Cliff people and the Lac Coeur d'Alene people. And the white folks got in behind them and just said, no mine. And even with the deck stacked against them in favor of the mining company, they still managed to stop them. And I hope to God they can do the same thing in the UP. Because, I mean, it comes to no good end. But you heard there it is again. Oh, we're going to bring you some jobs.
Both of them.
Right. Yeah, all two of them. And they never say, we're going to bring you some pison.
Hey, Bob.
Yes, Sparky.
I talked to my neighbor today. He's home from his job in Nevada. He works for a company that maintains conveyors at a gold mine. He said he just got out of the hospital. He had a blood virus or something. Thought he was going to die.
Oh, Jesus.
He spent a week in the hospital. I don't know if there's some kind of toxins he could have been exposed to that caused it.
Are you kidding? That process, there's all kinds of toxins associated with that process.
Yeah, it's a big mine over in Nevada. I know where it is. It went in and back in the 80s. Carlin, Nevada, I think it is. I never mentioned anything to him. He was in a hurry. He was getting in a company truck and leaving. He's just a supervisor.
Yeah, and money's probably pretty good. What's that old saying? It's impossible for a man to understand something when his paycheck depends on him not understanding it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, here's a little piece of breaking news. Complete non sequitur. Bristol Palin has just given birth to her second little bastard child. Because abstinence works. Apparently the baby's name is Sailor Grace.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
And remember, this is because she was not going to have sex before she was married.
Wait, isn't that bastard child on the highway to hell since the child was born out of wedlock?
No, that child is on the highway to hell because it's got Sarah Palin for a grandmother. poor kid will be hooked on meth by the time. Well, shit, it'll probably be in its baby bottle.
I think they can sort of both down.
Bristol put out a picture of her baby and said, our family couldn't be more complete. And by the way, for all those right-wing activists out there, there's no father in the picture.
Oh, I got the picture. Wow. The hospital bed picture?
Yeah, apparently, yeah.
Yeah, because I read a blog from a guy in Alaska, and he's got the picture on his website.
Our family could not be more complete. Unless, you know, like, I had a baby daddy that I was married to in a traditional Christian family values wedding.
Oh, geez, here's the deal on his, he says, holy crap, Dakota Myers is acknowledging that he is the father.
Yeah, I'm not surprised, I mean, yeah.
Well, I guess, what is it, what's the saying, the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree.
Well, something doesn't fall far from the tree, but it ain't a condom.
I was wondering about a...
Hey, Roger.
I was wondering about a quick inventory of what it takes. Hi, happy Christmas, guys. What does it take to be white trash? I was thinking of plunking a trailer down on one of my little parcels of land, and I was thinking, okay, you got to drink canned beer, probably need to smoke cigarettes and own a gun. So quick inventory, what more does one need to do to be white trash?
Now, damn it, Roger, there you go, stereotyping, and you didn't even mention the Confederate flag. You can't do any of that without a Confederate flag, Roger.
Okay, so I need one of those piss-colored snakes. Flag.
Oh, no, you need the urine-colored snake flag, but you also need
a pickup truck.
But you need a Confederate flag, too.
Well, is an NRA membership optional?
Lifetime membership to the NRA, absolutely. This is going to get a little pricey, Roger.
I think you need a car or a boat that doesn't work
white,
on cinder blocks somewhere near.
To be white trash, I actually have to... But to be white trash, do I actually have to proclaim my racism?
I've got issues with the term white trash.
But that won't work.
What you're actually describing is making yourself out to be a teabagger. And yeah, you need a car that's up on blocks in the front yard.
Try trailer trash then. That could be any color.
I think you're going for tea party here.
Yeah, car on blocks in the front yard.
And it needs to have a McCain Palin 08 sticker on it.
Well, I was thinking more trailer trash. I suppose that could be any color. Right. The I'm fucking dumb sticker. I remember the Bush in 04 stickers. It was like, why would anybody put those on one of their cars? It's like, I'm stupid, you know?
I'm kind of wondering.
Anyway, I was just trying to figure out how to get with it.
Yeah, well, you know something, Roger? I'm kind of wondering what it would take to be an intellectual, peace-loving hippie. I need to find, because I'd like to see some more of those people.
that's true enough, Larry. And hi, Larry.
How are you?
How the hell are you?
Merry Christmas and happy Kwanzaa
it
Day.
It takes a backbone of steel.
Yes.
A backbone of steel.
Yeah. So... anyway,
well, Roger, in answer to your question, our buddy the Angry Indian says, I don't use the term white trash, but maybe this is he sent me a video here that is not going to require audio. So let's see, and skip ad. Let's see. Okay, yeah, you need firearms. You need to not particularly know how to use. And not just any beer in a can will do. It has to be really bad beer, like your Keystone, XL Light.
I can't drink bad beer, Bob. It's got to be halfway decent.
Well, I understand, but Roger's working on being a teabagger.
Yeah.
You shoot firearms while you're standing in your tidy whities.
Boxers?
No, these were at least what I'm looking at here. These are boxer briefs, and you need to be drinking beer while you're doing it.
So, I'm trying to get away from references to white and trailers
and even trash. I think Tea Party is what you're talking about. I mean, we've got empirical evidence for, you know, years now, Roger. That's what you're talking about is the Tea Party.
So white trash is more. I was just going for
basic inventory of behavioral and. Behavioral and accoutrement inventory. I just want a general overview of what it takes to belong.
Well, the special commemorative Confederate flag, Roger. The commemorative Confederate flag, Roger, that says on it "Heritage, not hate," is one. That's a necessity. Brother Deacon Asa reminds me you're absolutely screwing up if you don't have some chewing tobacco or some snuff to rub.
And you need a picture of white Jesus.
You need a picture of Jesus, and in the trailer that you're going to put up there, you need a sign in the window that says "Fear this."
So is there a difference between white trash and your trash?
Would a plastic Jesus on the dashboard of my car be acceptable?
Oh, absolutely, especially in a hula skirt. I mean, I think we got enough for you to work with for a while.
White trash and Euro trash dump.
And you're gonna need. On your car you're gonna want a sticker about Obama, like the one here, the one fellow that's got says OBAMA down one side and it says "One Big Ass Mistake, America," or "Obama is the Antichrist." That's another good one. And when you go out, and you want to be fancy dressed,
Can I get a customized license?
I think we can pull something together. But when you go out and you want to look, make sure everybody knows who you are, you want to get yourself a Confederate flag bandana and wrap your head up in it.
Oh my God,
that's kind of like a Muslim wrapping your head up in something.
Can I get a customized license plate that says? Merkun, M-E-R-K-U-N?
No, that's M-U-R-K-K-K-A-N.
That's my Merkun license plate.
So, Bob, they don't just wear the Confederate flag as a fashion statement, do they? I mean, that really has symbolic meaning when someone puts on a shirt with a Confederate flag or wears a whatever they wear with the Confederate stars, bars, and stuff.
A Confederate flag is always 12 months out of the year, Larry, for your teabaggers, and that's what we're talking about here. I'm really urging Roger to just use the word teabaggers because that's who we're talking about. 12 months out of the year, a Confederate flag is always an acceptable fashion statement, whether it be your do-rag or whether it be the bikini that you buy for your wife. Mm-hmm. And of course, there is Confederate flag Speedos and Confederate flag board shorts.
Oh God! Well, I've seen the bikini Confederate.
Is there any type of Prius that's allowed?
No. No. Your pickup truck is going to have to be diesel, and it's going to have to be modified to roll coal.
No Prius.
No Prius. No. No. Only sissy liberals drive Priuses.
Yuck.
Right.
And it's got the pickup truck's got to be jacked up, and it's got to have the fancy wheels.
And you got to have the twin stacks off the back, and the computer modification that lets you belch out voluminous clouds of black smoke at a trice. Yeah, you can opt for the great big.
How about if I just spray my Prius rust color?
No, because it's still a Prius.
And you can have the Easy Ratty rifle rack as an accessory.
Jim, where we come from, yeah, Priuses will get your butt kicked.
I could drill holes in it and shoot. I could shoot it up with a shotgun. I could bust holes in the exhaust so that it makes a lot of noise, get it nice and rusty, and then cut off the back and make it into like a Subaru Brat pickup truck. And put a couple of guns cross.
No Subarus. No, got to be Merkin.
Big old jacked up truck.
Merkin.
Sounds like we got company in the studio.
Sounds like we got Devin.
No, we got Ferg.
Oh, Ferg? Oh, no.
Yeah, Ferg's in the studio with me.
Howdy, Ferg.
And we are awaiting the arrival of, is
I'm here.
There's Doodle. There's Doodle.
Hi, Doodle.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi,
hey, Doodle.
Doodle appearing live from New Mexico.
That's right. Uh-huh.
Yes.
Not that far from me.
It's a Christmas tradition here that goes back every year that we've had the horn in existence to do a reading of the Gospel of Luke account of the Christmas story. Margie is otherwise engaged with a Christmas Eve dinner right now, else she would be on the line as well. But I thought if everybody but Doodle will be so kind in the Skype group to mute their mics.
Hey, Dad.
Yes.
So Aubrey drives a Prius.
Hang on. Wait a minute. Wait. Sorry, we're teching here.
I'm sorry, people. This is my fault.
Okay, we good?
You ready?
No, stand by. Okay, so Ferg has cans now. Okay, go ahead, Doodle.
Oh, nothing. Never mind.
No, the Prius conversation,
I
right?
I sent a message.
Yes, I got that. Mm-mm. You got to use this one. That one's not hot.
I thought it was.
No, it's not.
Well, my bad. I think it's a
trap. So we had a special request this evening for this particular Christmas Eve reading. We had a special request courtesy of Auntie Carol in the Ozarks that Ferg's portion of the reading be delivered at least in part by Morgan Freeman.
And he is here.
And then Doodle will pick up afterward. Let's see here. And in fact, just for anybody interested, what I'm going to do beginning tomorrow, I'm going to gather together all of the pre-Christmas shows from 10 years and just run them back to back over the holiday weekend. And people can hear they can kind of hear the kids grow up, sort of. So let me get the, I'm getting hand signals here.
Will you send me the link to that, Dad? Because I think I'd like to listen to that.
All you got to do, yeah, just go to, my Doodle doesn't know how to listen to her daddy's radio network. I failed
well,
as a father.
Who knows where I'll be this weekend? I'm in New Mexico.
Well, that's kind of where we figured you would be this weekend.
Yeah, but I need Wi-Fi everywhere I go in order to make my phone work.
I understand. Let's see. Stand by here. I'm going to pot there. Okay, got that potted down. Give me a level, Doodle. 10987.
What?
Give me a level.
Oh. 10987.
Okay. Yeah. don't strain yourself.
I don't know. Oh, God.
Okay, so let me get the music going, and then I will pass the microphone over to Ferg. He'll start it, he and Morgan Freeman.
Are you ready, Morgan?
And,
I think so.
And then Doodle will follow. So here we go.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out to the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men.
And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen, they made known abroad, saying, which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart.
And there it is. The tradition continues. Two of the four members of the tribe with the reading of the Christmas story. Thank you, Doodle, and thank you, Ferg.
Not Morgan. He's sitting here just beside himself.
Oh, and I'm sorry. Thank you, Morgan.
You're welcome, Bob. Anytime you need my assistance, I am more than happy to oblige.
That was lovely, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So,
thank you, Rob.
Very nice.
Thank you, Duncan.
Since you're the only one of the Kincaid clan that I've met.
We're working on the rest of it.
Come down to New Mexico. I'm in Albuquerque.
Are you doing there, in Duel? Albuquerque? That's
we're having a white Christmas.
Now, Doodle, are you studying there at UNM?
Not yet. Be.
Okay. Okay.
But that's part of the plan, right?
It's very much so part of the plan. I'll be doing nursing.
I think Breaking Bad line when I think of Albuquerque.
I think
our landlord legit looks like Bryan Cranston.
I'm waiting for his movie to come out somewhere so I can watch it. I've been watching movies the last few nights.
Oh, we binge watched The Man in the High Castle, and right now we're binge watching season 2 of The Nick.
Well, I don't.
That's Is that on Netflix?
I don't care to tell how you do, how I do it, but I watched Spotlight last night.
Oh, Lottie was saying that The Nick is really good.
Is it on Netflix?
It's a really good show.
No. Talk to me later, Doodle.
I was going to say, because I asked for your Netflix password.
Sorry, I interrupted.
Oh, no worries at all.
Yeah. At any rate, Lottie was saying last night that The Nick is a really good show. It shows about what medicine was about in the early 20th century.
I'm sorry.
It is, and it does, and it's mind-blowing.
Okay, Roger.
May I interject apropos TV, which I do precious little of, that Breaking Bad caught my attention, and I binge-watched it by downloading it off Pirate Bay about a year ago. About 2 months ago, I learned of the existence of Better Call Saul. And I binge-watched the first 10 episodes, the first year of the show. It is almost better than Breaking Bad. It is absolutely superb. Watch it.
The new season starts in February.
They also have a rendition of the Blue Meth Candy here.
Oh. And Netflix is going to... They're going to be putting up the first 10 episodes on Netflix sometime in early 2016. Otherwise, there's always the good old reliable Pirate Bay.
Television shows.
And yeah, there's another season. I think they're signed for a couple more seasons of it. It's brilliant, brilliant.
What's the show about the Jewish family with the? It's Transcended or Transition, some show that my counselor was telling me that is really interesting. I can't remember what she said. I'd have to look it up on Couch Tuner. I could say Couch Tuner.
Yes, right? I think you did.
Okay.
Hell, Agent Fred probably uses that.
In Bayous.
Hi, Agent Fred. How are you?
In Z movie.
Culturally.
Hey, Agent Fred, happy Hanukkah.
Indeed. And let there be an airing of grievances at the NSA. Feats of strength. But I keep telling Doodle now that she's out there.
Everybody got their
she's got to immerse herself in the culture there. Green chili salsa and you know, tomorrow being Christmas. It's not Christmas in New Mexico without tamales, is it?
I don't know. Maybe send a message off to Labor Man.
Well, we tried. It was closed this evening.
Rats. Well, maybe you can find some on the street tomorrow or something. You know, street food.
We ended up getting some Greek cuisine. It was really good.
I think all the roach coaches will be down tomorrow.
I'm starting a new culinary tradition here. I'm going to start making Thai-style silver thread noodles with shrimp and lots of amazing herbs and spices on Christmas. That's going to be the new tradition at the Roscoe Abode.
Well, that sounds delicious. Now, the reason we get all excited about oysters here is that there's nothing particularly Jesus-y about eating oysters. Insofar as had they caught Jesus eating oysters, they would have taken him beyond the city gates and stoned him to death. But back when Decembers were cold in Appalachistan, this was
we are entering the food.
Exactly. This was the only time of year when you could freight barrels of iced down oysters from the Atlantic seaboard into the mountain fastness of Appalachia. So every Christmas morning, my grandfather got up and fried oysters for Christmas breakfast. I mean, and that's, you know, for a bunch of hillbillies, that's about as damn decadent as one human being can get. But, you know, there weren't a bunch of toys or anything. The children's stockings had walnuts and oranges and maybe a banana. You know, fresh fruit in the, again, fresh fruit in the dead of winter, once upon a time, was kind of special. And there'd be walnuts and Brazil nuts and hazelnuts and almonds and pecans and to be shelled and munched on. And I'm sure times were hard. I mean, for God's sakes, it was a coal camp. But that actually sounds, at the risk of being maudlin or overly sentimental or wistful, that sounds kind of nice. Where a holiday feast, a holiday is about a family feast and not about some sort of obscene expression of rampant capitalist consumerism.
Gluttony on every level.
Well, I think the oysters count for that too.
I was in the grocery store today, and the one checker next to the aisle I was in, she turned around and yelled over to my checker. She goes, "What's the code for chestnuts?" And she goes, "I got it here." She pulls out a little notebook out of her little change apron she was wearing, and she kept looking through it, and she says, "Oh, maybe I don't have it." And then the other gal finds out the code and yells it back to her.
And then there's a separate PLU for the open fire for roasting them. here's the food non-porn portion of the program. Randy in PA said, "I tried my first can of old El Paso tamales in college 30 years ago and didn't know any better, so I ate the paper that separated them, too." Well, fiber's fiber. But I remember mentioning that I eat canned tamales, and the tamale purists in the Horn Family Commune congregation had a straight up conniption. Those aren't tamales, Bob. That's disgusting.
They gotta be in corn husk.
Yeah. Well, and they can't come from a metal can either. And the only way I can make those things palatable is to sort of drown them in a sea of what's the brand of hot sauce I like?
Cholula.
We know
your kids know your favorite hot sauce.
Yeah, the green top Cholula, the chili lime Cholula. Yeah, we taught you well.
No, Dad, it's that we love you so much that we remember the small things. Good God.
Yeah, tell it to the Marines.
Yeah, I did when I was enlisting.
That didn't work out for you, did it?
No.
I got to go to college first.
Well, and then there's something about the.
We don't need to talk about the fact of no.
Yeah, no. Like you've heard Ferg play music and stuff, and some of you have seen his videos on my Facebook page. He plays delightfully, but it turns out he was born with moderate to severe hearing loss. Which is kind of bizarre.
Hey?
And I'm completely deaf in one ear now.
Yeah, well.
Well, you don't want to go in the Marines then.
No. No. And well, you know, we were talking today, Sparky, about the fact that he would probably not make a very good sonar man on a submarine either.
No, and he wouldn't want to work on a flight line in the Air Force either.
Well, you just lose your hearing doing that. I mean, you can start out ahead of the game there, right?
Well, you got to wear hearing protection, but some of the guys I knew, some of the old-timers had already lost theirs, and some of the places you had to work, I mean, it never ceased to amaze me.
Okay, who's chortling in the background, Doodle?
Sorry, Aubrey is also deaf himself, so I was chuckling because he said most old-timers that have been in the Air Force have already lost theirs, and Aubrey pointed at himself and it made me laugh.
Huh?
I'm sorry. I'll mute my mic.
Well, that does come in handy sometimes.
Howdy, Aubrey.
Huh?
I'm just saying hello to Aubrey.
Oh.
Hello.
He said hi. I didn't know if you could hear him.
Oh, we heard him.
So do you have a Christmas cactus up, Doodle?
No, we do not. We have a plant in the corner of our living room that I've deemed the Christmas tree for right now, but next year we're going to do much better than that.
Well, and it should probably be explained that you've only just arrived there.
Mm. Yeah, we've been here 2 weeks now. Right? Yes, ma'am. 2 weeks. 2 weeks today, actually, I think. Or tomorrow.
I have a fake Christmas tree in the vise in the man cave.
I would have taken a Christmas plant at this point, but I didn't even get to put lights on it, so bummer.
My stepson was here for Thanksgiving. They had poinsettias on sale, and I asked him if he wanted to buy a couple for his mother. He said, oh, no.
Well, I meant to get one of those this evening, but I was in a hurry to get out of the Wiggling Pig and forgot.
Who were you getting a poinsettia for?
Well, who do you think?
Rob?
Meanwhile, commentary coming from Devin. Lib daughter has plant in the corner. No, Agent Fred, it's a ficus, really. It's a ficus.
It is a ficus?
I knew it was.
She's lying.
It's a Christmas ficus.
It really is a Christmas ficus. Thank God all these plants are fake, though, because there's no way I could have kept them alive.
Oh, no, no, no. No, you know, stay away from, like, the places. Over in Arizona that you've got the Joshua Tree National Monument, 2,500-year-old trees. Stay the hell away, Doodle.
Wait a minute. The Joshua Tree National Monument, I thought it was in California. It's where the Yucca Valley and...
Maybe it is. Maybe it is.
Oh.
Okay.
They got them in Arizona,
I've actually been to the Joshua Tree Forest in Arizona.
Joshua Tree is 4,900 years old.
In between Phoenix and Las Vegas.
Oh, okay. Well, don't let her go there. They will all die.
I can't drive. It's okay.
Yeah, don't get her a fish
Joshua
either.
Joshua itself is 4,900 years old.
Don't get me a fish.
They have a cactus museum in Phoenix. It's unbelievable.
Well, where's that place somewhere between Arizona and California? There's some place you can get an ostrich egg omelet.
Dude, you used to be able to get them here.
I saw one of those things on Food Network one time. Damn thing was humongous.
We used to have an ostrich ranch right down the road from here.
Ostrich eggs sound terrible.
They are delicious.
Anybody want an ostrich egg? I've got several of them.
I just want an ostrich.
Duncan, I would love an ostrich egg.
I think ostriches are beautiful. Is that the plural for ostrich?
They may have the bottom cut out of them. I don't know.
Bet ostrich eggs are yummy.
My dad used to carve ostrich eggs and emu eggs.
Those were the ones that you were showing me in the man cave, wasn't it, Duncan?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I showed you. I had a tray of them sitting up on the shelf.
Is that Ferg?
Yeah, that was Ferg.
Ferg's voice is maturing.
People mistake us for each other on the phone now, Roger. Yeah, he's going to be...
He's got a great voice.
He's going to be an old man of 20 years old come Saturday.
Getting up there.
Happy birthday, Ferg.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, Rob. Perfect.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Sissy.
I remember how I worried about getting old.
Oh, no, there's
Happy birthday, Ferg.
there's a transitional crisis underway right now. He's feeling like his youth has fled him.
No, I just over half century mark.
I feel like my childhood is over. It's time to be an adult.
That actually hits at 18, but
I had that happen when I was 17.
I don't know. Maybe I'm a late bloomer.
Because there's sweet 16, and when you're not 16 anymore, then you're not sweet anymore.
Well, that's kind of, not to be sexist or anything, but isn't that a girl thing?
It is.
I'm sweet 18 for the rest of my life, so I don't know what you all are talking about.
Exactly. Well, it is about time to wrap all of this up. Thank you very kindly for the reading, Doodle and Ferg, and thank you very kindly, Roger and Carol and Sparky and Larry, for joining in the conversation. Thank you for being there on the stress line, Jim.
And, no problem, my pleasure.
Again, no program tomorrow evening, but we'll be right back at it come more and Monday. And you know, even though it's a holiday weekend, I imagine they will probably maybe it's even more likely that they'll stack up twice as fast. Nothing brings the Moran out in the right wing quite like Christmas does. So thank you one and all, and the merriest holiday wishes, however you celebrate the holiday, or even if you don't at all, just have a lovely day tomorrow and have a lovely, wonderful weekend. Be safe, be happy with one another, you know, all of that. And thank you very kindly to Carol, and thank you to our buddy Gary Laborman, not too far at all from Doodle even, for help with fundraising this evening. We will close the program only $50 down, so thank you very kindly. And again, I hope you all have a wonderful weekend. Let's see, how to close this. Yeah, I love.
Oh my gosh, yes!
I love this these two tunes backed one to another. Just because, I mean, they're not Christmas carols or anything, but they feel kind of wintry, and I've loved them since I got the album back in, God, I guess it was 1989. Seems like it was like 1987 though, or 86, maybe even 85. Who knows? But. Happy weekend to you. A joyous feast if you're feasting. Peace, happiness, yeah, all of that.
Goodwill and charity towards
all. And happy holidays. And like I said, back on Monday, and we'll wind out the end of this arbitrarily designated particular trip around the sun. Thanks again. Always go out to all of you who keep all of this going. And thank you to Peggy. Thank you to Peggy for her help this week. Thank you very, very kindly. Thank you to everybody who makes this network go. It's a community. It's conversation. It's an attempt to problem solve. And it's just a darn fine way for me to have been able to spend, well, more than 10 years now with you, and to be a part of your world every evening. And Carol Baker sends heartfelt love to all, and it is returned, pressed down, and shaken together. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky, in the chat room. Thanks to Sparky for his ongoing moderation of the Horn Malloy Skype chat group. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.
Thank you.